This is Tiger Woods, and welcome to another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone. As always, I'm joined by Amelia. Amelia, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me on, as always. And we are excited to welcome an upcoming superstar onto the podcast, Chris Gotterup. Graduated from University of Oklahoma and has had an incredible career, which you get into later on in the podcast. But Adam, let's hear from you on the story of what piqued your interest in Chris to represent Bridgestone.
Yeah, we're super excited. Big signing for us. Big future guy. Lots of power. Great player. We'll talk about all the accolades during the pod with him. We talked a little bit more about all the things that he's accomplished. We'll go way more in depth with that. The list is pretty lengthy. From a Bridgestone perspective, you know, our staff is small. We don't have a huge staff, so we have to look at guys, and we really want to bring in guys that fit into our mold of players. You know, we have a smaller staff that we like to pick and choose. Is purposely that small. And so Gotterup, I mean, he makes perfect sense. He's a long hitter. We've typically had guys that boom the ball. You know, Fred Couples was one of our first players to play the Bridgestone golf ball. And, you know, his nickname is Boom Boom. So Gotterup's a really long player, a lot of aggressiveness to the golf ball. And Oklahoma's a team that we've worked well with in the past. We actually have a couple other players, and we're super connected with them. And the funny story about Chris is he was playing another ball, and we showed a lot of interest trying to get his attention from us. So we went and visited him and started testing with him, and he was coming into Atlanta to receive the Haskins Award, and so we brought him to the test site, and we did some testing with him, and he liked the ball. He liked what he saw. Definitely with like his mid to long irons, he liked the trajectory and the way he could keep the ball down and not overspin it on approaches into the green. And so, you know, we thought, oh, great, we got a chance with this guy. We really like this guy. He changed that week, and he was going into the Corn Ferry Finals to get status for next year. So he kind of reached out to us and said, "Oh, I'm gonna play the ball this week." And we all were like, "This week in the Corn Ferry Finals?" So we were kind of shocked, which was great. Yeah. And then he almost won. He finished second. You know, he played great all week, and he was right there.
Wow.
A birdie or two coming down the stretch, and he wins it. So he was very impressed with the golf ball. He loves the spin control of the golf ball around the greens. He was overspinning his previous ball to where he felt like he had to take too much spin off the golf ball to get it to stay on some greens. So the axe works out very perfectly for him as far as approach to the green. And I guess that's the story of how we kind of got his attention and got him on staff. And then once he played the ball, he knew right then. You know, he kind of came back to us.
Yeah, that's incredible. What an incredible story, and gives a lot of credibility to the Bridgestone ball. Puts it in play week of the Corn Ferry Finals and, you know, finishes second. I'd say that's pretty good. And he's had 12 starts on the PGA Tour so far with different awards that he's received in college, and has played well. He's made 10 out of 12 cuts and 2 top 10 so far. So definitely an upcoming superstar in the making. And without further ado, let's bring on Chris Gotterup.
All right, listeners, our next guest is freshly new to the team Bridgestone here. He's a rising star of the golf world and already has collected a pair of top 10s on the PGA, T4 at John Deere, T7 at the Puerto Rico Open. He was just in college a few months as an Oklahoma Sooner, and let me catch my breath before I read all these accolades. 2022 Jack Nicklaus Award, 22 Consensus First Team All-American, 2022 Big 12 Golfer of the Year. He closed his 22 season as the number one ranked golfer in the country, and he won the 22 Haskins Award, which has also been won by Tiger and Matt Kuchar. He was selected, the Haskins Awards is selected by college golfers, coaches, and members of the college golf media. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to introduce Chris Gotterup. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so good to have you, man. Sorry, that was a mouthful, but everyone will soon get to know you totally, but let's start with that Haskins Award that I just mentioned. Kind of what does that mean to you after this past season as an amateur?
Yeah, that was a special one for me. I mean, to have all the people I played against all year and all the coaches I played against and, you know, met vote for me to be Player of the Year is pretty cool honor. And, yeah, I mean, I got lucky that COVID happened for me. It was a blessing in disguise. And to have that extra year and to take advantage of it was awesome.
And you've just made this transition where you're playing with your buddies in college and now you're playing against major champions. What has that transition been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it moved so quickly. We unfortunately lost in nationals in the quarterfinals, and then 2 days later I was home and I played US Open sectionals, and then I was off to Canada. So for me, I didn't even have the time to sit at my house and process what all just happened. I just got straight into it and was playing in Canada. And for me, I've never really been one to, like, I mean, obviously I admire, you know, Tiger and the people that are in the game, but, like, I'm kind of there to do my business. So I'm not one to sit on the range and watch people hit balls or, like, be, you know, starstruck by, obviously it's cool playing against them, but, I mean, I gotta make my opportunity worth it. So, yeah, for me, it was a fun journey for sure to start the summer.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it makes sense for a lot of athletes. You know, we don't have time to kind of be fans and idolize people. We have our own goals, yeah, and we want to be our own person. I know one thing that my mom told me is, you know, you don't want to be like someone else, you want to be you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's it makes sense. And also, you know, you have people that glorify you as an athlete and they're kind of fans of you, and you know all the personality of yourself, of Chris, whereas same thing with people like Tiger and Jason Danny. You know, we talked to some of these guys today and they're just normal guys.
Yeah,
and dudes, they're super,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and I think that to hit on that point, I think this summer I realized that more than because I played a decent amount of events this summer and I got to meet all these guys and I was playing practice rounds with them, and they are normal guys deep down. I mean, some so to get to know them on that level has been fun, and it definitely takes away from, like, the nervousness or, you know, the awe factor.
Mm-hmm. What have been some of the interactions that you've had with some of the players?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, the most notable one I've had, I played a practice round with Ricky and played the final round of 3M with him. And for him, you know, he's a pretty prominent guy in golf, and he couldn't have been cooler. We talked the whole time, and I actually played with Paul Gordos that round too, so it was funny. You know, me, Ricky, and then, you know, the old guy, and he,
he was
throwing lasers in the wind out there, so it was fun. You know, all three of us were just, you know, kind of shooting the shit out there, and it was a fun time. Yeah, and then at the U.S. Open, I played a couple holes with Cam Smith, and then you just get to meet some guys on a personal level and pick their brain a little bit on what they do and you know, why they're good at what they do.
Yeah, a little different than riding the bus and playing with your peers of your guys. Like, yeah, now you're playing with Paul Gordos, and there's history and stuff in there. And how was that different, going from, like, directly from eating in the hall with everybody and then going out there on your own? What did you kind of learn when it was time to go pro and you got to get out there and play these tournaments away?
I learned that behind the scenes there's a lot more that goes on than, you know, just Thursday to Sunday. I mean, for me, I was playing on sponsor exemptions all summer, and in order to do that, I had to play, you know, the Monday Pro-Am. I had to play some of the Wednesday Pro-Am. So for me, I was playing, and luckily I was making the cuts and playing well. So I was playing Monday through Sunday, really, for a bunch of weeks in a row. And you know, 7 days in a row wears on you when you're playing 5 weeks in a row or whatever it was. So for me, I figured out what my body can handle. And I just figured out that the travel part is complicated, and I'm happy I have a good team that helped me out with that. So, and you know, it's different traveling by yourself than traveling with eight guys that you all can, you know, mess around with and make fun of each other. And luckily, I also had my buddy caddy for me this summer, which was nice too. So he was definitely helpful. And it was a little bit more normal, even though it wasn't normal for what I was used to.
With your friend that caddied for you, are you someone that kind of does your own thing when you're playing and just want someone for maybe some confirmation, or do you like a lot of information from a caddy?
depending on the situation. I'm usually a guy that does it all on my own, and we'll double check numbers and stuff with each other just in case, you know, I didn't go to school for math, so I'll get some numbers wrong every once in a while. So double check, and then if I really am confused on something, I'll call him in and just to have a confirmation or something like that. But I like to do most of it on my own, because at the end of the day, I'm the one pulling the trigger. So if I'm going to blame anyone, I'm going to blame myself.
Yeah, reading putts is always one I'm very interested in. If it's one of those things of like, do I do it on my own, or is it like a group thing with you and when your guy?
Yeah, I mean, so I like to think it's a group effort. I mean, I'm not going to be right all the time. So if I can get, you know, an opinion, and it's also pretty close to what I'm thinking, confirms what you're looking at, right? And then it's always nice to have a double confirmation on what you're seeing, so you know it's right. And if you know, if you hit it right there, it's going in. So, and then there's certain things that are tricky, and you just want to, you know, leave it to yourself and deal with it. So, and I like to think of myself as a feel player. So if it's something that is feel, I'll just deal with it myself.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Tiger's always been an interesting one. He's talked about how he reads, and he does most of his reading on his own. But if he needs some help, he just calls Joey in there, and they hash it out, and they figure it out. And it either confirms what he wants, or he may go with his read. And so it's one of those things like, yeah, you're the guy pulling the trigger. You kind of get your read. Most of the time you're going to have it. But that one moment to where you need something, and – because, I mean, you don't want to stand over a putt thinking you're 80% right.
No,
you want to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, ah, it could be a little more than that. And then and then you end up doing something that mess with your stroke. You don't know if you're right or wrong. And then that's even worse. You'd rather know if you're right or wrong. And you can adjust for it afterwards.
Absolutely.
So one thing we want to ask you about is this Bridgestone switch. So not a ton of college players are playing the Bridgestone ball. Yeah. I remember when I switched, I got a lot of questions. People were really interested in why I switched to the Bridgestone ball. But what was your experience like? When did you start having thoughts about, I might want to change to a different ball?
So really, it all started when I went to Oklahoma. They actually used to be a Bridgestone school, and so they always had a couple lingering around, and I would mess with them. And my roommate was actually playing Bridgestone also. So when I started in college, I played with a really firm ball, and it ended up being okay. Like, it was great. I hit it far, but if I got to a firm course, I was not in a good position if I had to hit a wedge or something like that. So I ended up moving slowly down to more spinnier, and I realized I needed more spin. And then this summer, playing at like the US Open and some other firmer courses like Travelers and whatnot, if I had a 70 yard or if I was short-sided, I had no chance with a ball that didn't spin. So this ball gave me a little more spin, and I still held my distance, and I can still, you know, do what I want to do it. I'm still getting used to it for sure. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks, but where I've wanted it, it's made big differences.
Well, you played very good with it the first week. I know we heard that you were going to switch going in the Corn Ferry Finals, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to switch in the finals. And then you played awesome that week, and you know, secured that Corn Ferry card for you this year and kind of locked it up. Talk about, like, why did you switch it that week? Yeah. I was quite surprised. I think we were a little taken back, like, oh man, it's going to happen, because we saw you in Atlanta when you got the Haskins Award, and we worked with you a little bit, and then you made that switch. How did it go that week, and kind of what determined that you're going to do it then?
You know, I knew that it would be dumb to switch before the season starts. So I was like, all right, I got to do it now. Like, if I'm going to make a switch, I'll know if I like it or not. Playing it for real, because I'm playing at home, and the weather's not great, and you're kind of just smacking it around.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to put it under the pressure, and it was great. You know, I definitely learned more about it as the week went on, and it did what I wanted it to, and I didn't pull it out in the end like I would have liked to, but that wasn't the ball's fault. So,
well, you finished third.
Third's good. You're always trying to win, but it worked great. I had definitely a couple shots where I needed some more spin, and I got it for sure.
Go ahead. What kind of player are you on the course?
I like to think of myself as aggressive, and ideally for me, if I have a course that I can hit a lot of drivers on and get in a groove with the driver, I like to think I can take advantage of those courses. And then if I need to, I can play. You know, a little bit, for me, I feel like I'm playing more secured and a little bit safer on a course where it's a little tighter, and kind of just placement golf. And I've gotten better at that from college because a lot of those courses are like that. So I'm learning more about my game. Obviously, like in Q school, I didn't hit many drivers at all. It was OB everywhere, and you know, I just didn't need to. So, but then this summer I hit a lot of drivers on the courses, and I played good there too. So I'm learning my game as I go, and trying to play well on, you know, different layouts because it's not all the same out there.
Any consideration to get the Stinger more in the bag after a little display out here with Tiger today?
I'm throwing it in there as much as I can. I mean, Q school, I was hitting that thing all over the place because, you know, with OB, I'm trying to keep it as low to the ground as I can and get it on the ground and let it run. So that shot has been my favorite shot for a while. And I love the 2-iron, and this ball keeps it low. So
yeah.
It's a fun shot to hit, and for me, it's really helped me a lot.
Has there been any looks at Tiger over the years hitting him? I know that I used to always love his shot when he hits that and, you know, hit that little low one that runs forever. And sometimes the course condition doesn't lend for that if it's soft and the ball doesn't roll. But did you grow up kind of watching that and admiring that like everybody, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch him hit any shot, really. you know, it was cool today just to hear him talk about it and what he does. And honestly, I do it very different than what he was talking about because I was asking him questions and I was like, yeah, I mean, I throw mine back, open up. And he's like, no, I throw mine up and I aim closed. And I was like, and he was hitting it perfect, you know, whatever. But it's just funny. I mean, and that's like how golf is, you know, you get all seven of us or however many there was, and we all do everything differently. Yeah. So, it's cool to listen to people and what they have to say about it.
Yeah, golf's a fun game like that. Every swing is unique. I mean, obviously you guys swung like Fred too, and it's like almost feels impossible to swing like him, but then when he does it, it looks like it's majestic. So
yeah, I mean, I was talking to Jason and I was like, I can't get my shoulder to where he is, and and he's just dropping it in there and slinging it out there, and
no glove,
just chilling it out there.
Yeah, I love Tiger when he was talking about how he throws it out there and it's like off his hands and then he catches back up with it. Like, you kind of see it a little bit in the full action, but then as Tiger described it, you're like, yeah, he kind of does that, like slings it through and then kind of catches it back up. That's crazy.
Yeah. You better be good, but you better have some good hands if you're doing that. Yeah. And obviously he does.
Especially without a glove.
Yeah, for sure.
Earlier, Chris, you talked about how important a support team is, especially transitioning when you're not really traveling with your best friends anymore. Who is on that support team, and how have they helped you in all of the things outside of actually playing golf?
Yeah, I mean, that, like you said, they've my team is, you know, my family, obviously, and then my agent and manager, and then obviously I have all my friends and, you know, people that I've grown up playing with, and I have group chats where they're, you know, every round they're playing, I'm playing, they're texting, you know, live updates, and I go back through the round afterwards, you know, through what they're seeing, and they're like, how the hell did he hit the shot, you know, it's so easy, just put it right in the middle of the green, and I'm like, well, it's not that easy. But you know, it's great, it keeps me light, and you know, I like it when people are giving it to me a little bit, and it keeps it fresh. So, and like I said, you know, with my manager and agent, they've been super helpful, and you know, because they obviously have guys that have gone through this before, and you know, they're able to, you know, kind of guide me along, and I'm one that doesn't need to have my hand held. I like to figure it out on my own, even if I mess up. So, they push me in the right direction, and I try to figure it out from there. So. Yeah, I mean, it's been great, and I'm super thankful to have, you know, that type of support.
And you said your brother plays a little bit of golf, four handicaps, so do you go out and play as an entire family? Do you and your brother just play a little bit together?
Usually my dad, I, and my brother, and then we'll pick up someone else. Usually my buddy that caddied for me this summer, he's usually the fourth in that group. And, I like to play with them, and I try to get my dad all riled up and get him a little angry, and... We usually have some good matches.
What are you giving those guys? You got to give them
too many,
strokes?
Too many. My dad's pretty good. He's like a scratch, and I have to give him. You know, he's going off the handicap system, and that thing's so broken for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to get like six shots. I think that's fair. And he's like, no, I need more.
You need more. Yeah.
And then he's making. You know, he's shooting even par, and I'm getting screwed.
When you break it down by sides, he says like three a side's not enough. It's like, well, that's six. That is a lot.
Yeah. No, and he knows it too. So I'm always fighting with him on that stuff. And it's way, way better when I beat him because he's kind of supposed to beat me when I'm giving him that many shots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they usually get pretty heated, I will say, at the club. It's fun.
So you got a big year coming up. Last question here. What's the goals for 2023 for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually not one to set goals because it's so far ahead. I mean, I'm just excited to get started in January and go play my best. And obviously my goal is to be on the PGA Tour and play well. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But I know it's not a sprint. So I'm going to be doing whatever I can to play well and then hopefully make the next step.
Yeah, the good thing is you do have some starts, considering your Haskins Award gets you some PGA Tour starts, and then your great finish at the Korn Ferry Finals gets you fully exempt and 12 starts on the Korn Ferry. So we're looking forward to seeing you play, and we're excited to have you here with Bridgestone Golf, and thank you so much for stopping in and talking with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be a part of the team, and thank you for having me.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem.
Well, it was so good to talk to Chris. What a great future talent, already a great talent, a great player in college, and already shown some really great success, even on the PGA Tour. You know, he's just itching to get out there and start up again on the Korn Ferry. These guys get started in March, so he's just kind of ready to start playing. It was also interesting to hear him talk about, you know, his focus when he does show up to these tour events with his sponsors exemptions now. We talked about him, you know, playing so well last year when he had top 10 finishes already on the PGA Tour. You know, he's kind of laser focused. You know, he might see major champions and stars of the game around him, but when he's on the range, his focus is purely on that week and playing as good as he can and trying to win a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, and I think this has been the trend when I've been talking to younger players and even my peers who are going on to the LPGA is people don't get as starstruck anymore. And I think that's because they see their friends who are older than them, you know, have success on the Korn Ferry, Epson Tour, LPGA, PGA Tour, and they're seeing, oh yeah, I can do that too. So seeing their peers exactly gives them that edge on, hey, I'm good enough to be out here. So it's definitely interesting to see Chris's mindset and, you know, be able to go into those championships and those tournaments with that kind of confidence. And I also enjoyed hearing him talk about his matches with his brother. And I think it's always nice to have a sibling that plays or a close friend that plays golf or plays the same sport you do, because it just gives you that competitive edge and gives you that opportunity to always be able to practice with someone versus being out there grinding on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good when you can clip your brother in any sport. I had an older brother and it took me a while to kind of beat him in basketball, and you always remember the first time you clip him, and then, you know, then you got him in your pocket. But there's those years where you just can't get him, and it was cool hearing him talk about kind of catching him and, you know, now kind of blistering him whenever they play whenever they get out there.
Yeah, for sure. And really excited to start following Chris's career on the Korn Ferry. They played a couple early and now not having another one till March 23rd, playing in Georgia. So, Adam, will you get to sneak on along and drive over there and watch him play?
Yeah, I've already got it on the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Savannah, so I'm going to try to slide over there. It's going to be a fun end of March, and then of course we get into April and there's an event that you're going to play in that I hope to slide over and watch you play at Champions Retreat in an Augusta National.
Yes.
Totally, there's a lot going on with Bridgestone over the next few weeks, and you know, March kind of gets us sneakily close to Augusta and to the Masters and everything going on for the new season. So it's going to be a really rip-roaring ride at the end of March and into April. So we're super excited for him, you, everybody, this coming up April and what we have going on with the Bridgestone.
Yes, the peak of the golf season is certainly arising. And I know
a lot of
listeners became new fans of Chris, and we're all excited to follow him this year and see everything that he makes for himself. But thank you all for listening, and until next time on another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone.
Another Golf Podcast is presented by Bridgestone's new line of Tour B golf balls with a reactive IQ cover. Reactive IQ is a smart cover technology that reacts to the force of impact. It rebounds quickly on tee shots, delivering explosive velocity and increased distance. And around the green, the reactive IQ cover stays on the face longer, providing more spin and control. Bridgestone Golf is the pioneer and industry leader in ball fitting, and the four new models of Tour B are designed to ensure every golfer is playing the right ball for their game. The Tour BX and XS models are ideal for players with driver swing speeds over 105 miles per hour, and the RX and RXS were created for golfers with driver swing speeds under 105 miles per hour. To find the right ball for your game, go to BridgestoneGolf.com and click Find My Ball to go through the online ball selector guide. Bridgestone Golf, the number one ball fitter in golf.